Here we go. He said, I'll be with you always. Yeah. He'll be here if we want him here. He's invited. Okay. Let's go to 2 Peter 4, because that's where my Bible's at, and it's in the wrong place there. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're getting down close to the end of this chapter, but we're not done with it yet. I get hung up. I was going to use all the last three verses tonight, but just I ended up with just one again. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Let's go ahead and read the next verse, two verses just for good measure. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So the whole context here, we've been 2-3 weeks talking about the fiery trial and being reproached for Christ and suffering for the cause of Christ and all that and the name of Christ. And that's what these two verses are put right in the middle of it. So that's the context. It's not a different subject. It's the whole thing. Time has come. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? All right, let's pray again. Father, pray you'd help us now to have attentive minds and hearts to listen to your word and for the voice of your spirit as you guide us into thinking and understanding here about what we're reading. Help us, Lord, I pray. Without you, we don't understand anything. None of us can do anything. So, Lord, we look to you tonight and ask you to help us and help us to have a mind and heart that's not asleep and not distracted and not agitated by anything else, but to settle down and listen to the Word of God and allow your Spirit to have His way with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we got to first understand what judgment is in order to really understand what's being said here. When the Bible talks about judgment, what do you think about? I mean, what do you think about? Persecution. Well, judgment is, let me just say what it is here. It means to discern or distinguish. Judgment. Judgment is when a decision is made for or against. You know, that's what they did the other night up there. A grand jury decided no. You know, they listened to all the evidence and they said, no, we're not going to prosecute him. So the decision was made. A judge passes judgment. That's what they did. They passed judgment. A decision is made for or against. There's discernment involved. You have to decide for or against. Judgment. That's what judgment is. When God judges, that's what he does. God is separating from the human race those who are his. Now, that's what all this is about. And the judgment of God, that's what it's about. He's preparing for the harvest of the earth. You read about that in Revelation where the angel stuck in his sickle and reaped the earth. That's future. But it's an ongoing thing. God is, you know, that's been the ultimate goal of God's working through all of human history. He is separating a people to himself. He's saving those who will be saved. He's gleaning from the human race, which is ruined by sin. He's gleaning out his jewels. You know, like the old gold people, the old, what do you call it, prospectors, they'd pan for gold all day long, and if they found one little bitty nugget, they did good. You got to sort through a lot of stuff to get the valuables and the jewels. And that's what God's doing with the earth. The human race is a mess. You talk about a depraved, ruined mess. Isn't it a sight? You know, I was looking at a documentary about a prison today and the gangs. And it's just amazing how depraved humanity can get. They're full of violence and they're evil and they're bloodthirsty and they have no feeling, no empathy, no sympathy, no feelings at all. Just like a rock, a stony heart. And that all comes from sin. And God is separating out for Himself. There, He only recognizes two categories. What are they? Simple. Y'all hear me say these things over and over, y'all to know. What is that? Good and evil. There's just good and evil. That's the only thing God recognizes. That's the way God separates the two. There's good and there's evil. There's the righteous and there's the wicked. The judgment of God now is always about distinguishing between good and evil. God don't just get all He can take and fly off and just kill a bunch of people to blow off some steam. That ain't what it's about. That ain't the way God works. He doesn't work like that. When God judges, the very word, the very meaning of the word is that He sets things back in order. He has His say, loud and clear, about what's good and what's evil. Men won't stick with it. They know in the beginning, then they turn aside. They go astray. All sin is calling good evil and evil good. That's the way it happens. That's what it's all about. And the judgment of God sets things back in the right order and makes it clear once again what God approves of, what He doesn't. What He thinks is good and what He thinks is evil. He showed the world when He drowned them all in Noah's day what He thought about their violence and their evil ways of corrupting His way upon the earth. He showed the men of Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole world what He thought of sodomy when He burned them to ashes. That pretty well tells you what God thinks about it, doesn't it? It's hard to argue with. That's why they don't want to talk about it. That's why they come up with a Queen James version that takes all that out of it, see? That's the way you deal with what condemns you, what judges you, what condemns you because you got it all wrong. You're calling evil good and good evil, and God says, God acts, and it says you're wrong. So you get rid of it. You don't want to listen to it. But God, the judgment of God, comes and you have to listen to it. More precisely, it's about distinguishing between who's identified with evil and who's identified with good. That's what the judgment of God does. It uncovers. It says who's good and who's bad. He says it with His actions. He judges. He punishes the wicked, and He delivers the righteous. That's judgment. All the judgment of God contains those two things. He delivers the righteous, and He judges, punishes the wicked. That's the judgment of God. He separates them out. These are mine. Boom. That's the way God judges. That's the judgment of God. Think about it. All the judgments that happened in Israel, what happened? Same thing. That's exactly what happened. What happened in Sodom? What happened in Noah's day? What's fixing to happen in our day? Oh, you think the world's overcome with evil? It ain't got past God's ability to deal with it. God's judgment is at hand. And no, not as men see it. I mean, it's about distinguishing between who's identified with evil and who's identified with good, but it's not as man sees it, it's as God sees it. Men make heroes out of evil people. And they disdain and what do you call it? Have great contempt for those that are good. God fixes that in judgment. God stands up for the ones who are good. It's like Jesus stood up for John the Baptist and said, there's none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. In Hebrews chapter 11, God said, all these, the heroes of faith, named them all, went down through there by faith. They did this, by faith they did that. And He said, of whom the world? He said, some conquered and some shut the mouths of the lions and all of this and wrought great victories. And others were stoned and sawn asunder. And they dwelt in caves and dens of the earth. And everybody hated him, but then he says, of whom the world was not worthy. Tells you whose side God's on, who God favors, who God's in agreement with. Not like man sees it. Man looks at it all and says, well, if it's going good, God's in it. If it's not going good, God ain't in it. God is good. God loves us. So everything, if God's for us, everything will be fine. We won't suffer. We won't get sick. There's all kinds of people in Christianity now that believes that being sick is not the will of God. So if you're in the will of God, you should never get sick. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. They think they can actually just say no to death and stop it. But they ain't one of them done it yet. But they claim that power, you see. Men call evil good and good evil. So the judgment of God is to straighten out what man has confused and blurred and made all murky for everybody. You got children growing up listening and looking at all this mess. That's why we're losing them all. They're listening to the world. They're listening to all the people that's supposed to be Christians who are all confused about what's right and wrong, what's good and what's evil. And they're being taught wrong. They're being spoiled, ruined forever. So that's why God moves in, straightens it all out. How you straighten it out? Well, normally, most everything is purged by blood. That's what the Bible says. And common sense will tell you that. There's a certain point where there's no fixing it. It has to be destroyed. That's why He destroyed the world in Noah's day. That's why He destroyed Sodom. Jesus said they would have repented if they had heard what He was telling these people. But they didn't hear it. See? And He had to destroy them. God intervenes in judgment. When men or an assembly of men, like a family, a church, a country, won't judge between good and evil according to the moral laws of God, then there's a point that it reaches where God will intervene Himself and make it clear to everyone what is good and what is evil. There's a God in heaven, and He is beholding, His eye, the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He's a-watching. Don't think it's got out of His control. I mean, whenever it needs to be dealt with, He will deal with it at the right time, in due time. When the iniquity has come to the full, He will deal with it. Ask the Amorites. Ask all those people, the Canaanites. Ask Israel. The history of man is filled with the judgment of God. Plain examples of the judgment of God. And what does the judgment of God do? It makes it very clear what's good and what's evil. That's what the judgment of God does. It declares it openly and loudly and clearly. Judgment must begin at the house of God. The context of this whole passage here that we've been reading about is about the suffering of those who are identified with Christ. The suffering we do as Christians is the price we pay for being separate from evil and identified with good. There you go. We suffer because we're identified with Christ, with good, and not evil. But they call evil good, and good evil. So in their eyes, we're evil. That's why the Muslims call Christians blue-eyed devils. And we're the great Satan. That's why all other religions condemn us. Alone in the world. Everybody's for diversity. And everybody's for freedom of religion except for us. Except for those who are identified with Christ. And who believe the Bible or profess to believe the Bible. If you do, and you halfway live like it, they hate you. Why do they hate us? Why do they hate people who believe you ought to be honest and you ought to be pure and you ought not to be a fornicator, an adulterer, and a thief, and a liar, and a murderer, and a... Well, they call evil good. They say homosexuality is good. Yeah. They say immorality, shacking, fornicating is good. They say if you say that it's wrong, you're evil. You're a hater. Well, they're the haters. They're haters of them that are good, despisers of them that are good. The reason we're persecuted is because we identify with good. If we embrace them, then they don't feel so bad toward us. They're okay with people being Christians as long as they're for the queers and they don't fight them on their abortion issues and they don't fight them about everything else. They're insanity. Judgment has to begin at the house of God. A life lived for God in true holiness is a life that judges those who live in wickedness. You don't have to say a word of condemnation to them for them to feel judged. They feel judged by your presence. They feel judged by your lifestyle. If you live right and you live pure, and if you don't talk filthy and act filthy and live filthy with them or in front of them, that condemns them. They always want to draw you in. Try it. You don't know it's bad. Smoke this weed. Drink this booze. Get out and have a little fun. They want you to join them. My son, don't go with a multitude to do evil. That's what Solomon said to his son. Wise, wise. Shouldn't do that. It'll lead you to destruction. But that's what they want. They want you to join in. But if you refuse, then what are you in their sight? They don't like you. Then they begin to hate you. Because they feel judged by you. They really do. They'll say that. You're judging me just because I won't do it, just because I won't take a part. You think it's wrong? Yep, sure do. You're judging me. You got no right to judge me. We got no right to think that anything is wrong. They got all the right to judge any. They make all kinds of moral laws and commands according to their judgment. A bunch of low-down hypocrites. They think it's all right for two men to get married, two women to get married, but they're chasing around after these people that are marrying three or four wives, prosecuting them in church. What moral foundation, what moral authority do they have to do that? I'm not for having multiple wives. I don't believe that's right at all. God meant for man to have one wife. He only gave Adam one wife. So, you know, besides, I don't know how anybody could stand it anyway. Nah, I don't mean it like you think I mean it. They ain't none of them happy when they do that, and I'm chasing a rabbit here, but these polygamists, look at Jacob. We studied a lot about Jacob in the Bible. A messed up family. Bunch of hatred and fighting and wickedness in their family, and it all had its root in the fact that there was more than one wife. Four women, four bunches of kids, all the envy and strife and a fighting for each other's turn and a talking about each other. It instead of unity, it promotes division. And it's not right. It ain't right. But those people ain't got no moral authority to go after people like that when they've thrown God, when they've trashed God's whole law about marriage. They ain't got no right to say, well, now that's okay, but this is not. What do you mean? Who made you God? Who made you the one that makes up the morals for everybody? Well, that's what they accuse us of. But we don't. We go by what this book says. We go by the moral law of God. We refer to God's law, not my law, not what I think, not what I feel, not what I want. But they do. They go by their lusts and their desires and their sorry opinions that are full of depravity. Judgment has to begin at the house of God. When there's no light, there's no condemnation for them. Silence is consent. When we are a secret disciple, when we don't ever stand up, when we don't ever let anybody know, when we don't live right in front of them, we're not a light. There's no light. So they don't feel any condemnation. Judgment must begin at the house of God, with the people of God. Judgment, our light must shine in order for the difference between good and evil to be recognized by the wicked. That's right. We're the salt of the earth. Salt makes its presence known, doesn't it? If it's not there, bleh. If the salt has lost his savor, it's good for nothing. It's just like dirt throw it out there and walk on it. It's just fit for nothing, but it said to be trodden under the feet of men. Cast out and trodden under the feet of men. When salt's there, oh, you know it, don't you? Just the right amount of salt makes things way nicer, doesn't it? If you get too much salt, not very pleasant, is it? I had them fries down there the other day. I got in that restaurant and they poured that stuff all over me. The salt was that thick underneath my french fries. And I couldn't eat them. Burnt my mouth up. Two, three, or four days I had, you know, felt like my mouth was coming out, peeling out. Salt. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt. Isn't that what it says? And always with grace. Always with grace. Seasoned with salt. But if there is no light, if there is no salt, everybody's okay with doing anything. The people of God are the salt of the earth. They're the restraining factor in this. We're on a roller coaster to hell in our world. Obviously. Man, things have picked up, haven't they? The violence, the ungodliness in this world, not just in our country, but in the whole world. Just look at it, man. The whole world's about to blow up. There's just blood flowing on every continent, in every country. There's ungodliness and bloodshed and violence. I mean, the earth is filled with violence. And it's picking up steam. Why? Well, because the salt has lost its savor. The salt is not doing its job. The light has went out in the house of God. Like we read about last night in 1 Samuel. The light went out. But the light went out, and God still spoke to Samuel. God don't quit speaking because the light goes out in the world. Just because God's people get so sorry and backslid and care and cold in their hearts that they hole up somewhere and don't let nobody know and don't live right anymore and don't stand for nothing anymore and they just start blending in with the world and you can't tell them from anybody else. I don't mean God don't care anymore. And I don't mean good has been changed and evil's been changed. Nothing has changed. God don't change. Right and wrong don't change. Morals don't change. What was an abomination to God 1,000 years ago is still an abomination to God. And what's wrong 1,000 years ago, still wrong tonight. I don't care what the world's doing. It's just that the light has went out. It went dim. The salt has lost its savor. The discerning and the distinguishing between good and evil has to begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment. God judges, but judgment begins at the house of God. The ability, the beginning of being able to tell the difference between good and evil the right way has to begin in the house of God. The judgment on Israel was happened all through the years, and you can read in your Bible, God said, because the priests and the prophets have failed to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the profane. They've profaned all my holy things. They've turned it all around backwards. They don't make any difference anymore. They don't tell the people what's clean and what's unclean. It's all good. And we're all just, you know, we're all sinners. But God, it's wonderful for all of us. I mean, we all love each other and God loves all of us no matter what. How'd you like that yesterday in the news where you seen where Ricky Skaggs, see, a couple of the country music singers come out this week and said they're gay. And they was asking him about it, and he said, well, he just hoped that everybody in the country music industry would accept him, because we're all sinners, you know. That's why I don't preach that wicked gospel message like that. There's your fruit of it. There's where it goes. That's how they really feel. They ain't got a problem with sodomites or nothing. We're all sinners. Y'all be able to look at him and tell something wrong. Hair down on his shoulders. Yes, looks terrible. Oh, he can sing so pretty. I bet the devil can sing good too. Since that's his deal. Since that's what he was made for. I'll bet you he's a good singer. I'll bet he could wring your emotional heartstrings too if you'd... Oh yeah. Our light has to shine. And the discerning and the distinguishing between good and evil has to begin at the house of God. The people of God must be the ones to begin to recognize and acknowledge and declare what's right and what's wrong in the sight of God according to His Word. There has to be an awakening. That's what a revival is. It's a revival. It's when God's people wake up and come alive and get back. I keep a notice, and we read last night, and I've been preaching on in Genesis and Exodus, but it always like God of his fathers. And we're going to read it a lot as we get through Samuel and all of that about the kings of Israel. He returned, he called upon, he sought after the God of his fathers. The old past, the way it used to be, the way it's supposed to be. Instead of this newfangled, contemporary stuff, all these new ideas of God, he went back to the original. That's what God's people got to do every time. That's the way you find your way back. And that's the way you get straightened out. You find what they said, what they thought, what God showed them. And you can get your bearings again about good and evil. The people of God has to be the one. Judgment must begin at the house of God. No revival or any move of God is ever going to happen without the people of God first realizing their sins and returning to righteousness. I've seen people for years and churches for years and preachers for years talk about it. Oh, we need a revival. We just need a revival. Well, they don't never think past a revival being just an excitement of emotion where everybody shouts it out. They think we've had a revival if we go for 2 or 3 days and everybody gets up and runs around the building and shouts. We've had a revival. No, we haven't. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. Ain't no revival until there's holiness follows it. You ever see a real revival of God's people and you'll see them getting back to righteousness. You'll see them calling evil, evil. And you'll see them embracing and loving and seeking after good. That God says is good and holy. Yes, you will. That's what a revival really is. And then that's when the salt begins to have its effect. And that's when you begin to see people saved. A revival is not when you see a bunch of people get saved. No, that's not a revival. That happens because of a revival. It's one of the fruits, one of the benefits, one of the results of God's people just getting right. And judgment beginning at the house of God. Judgment, what does it do? Set things back in order, good and evil. It establishes the law, that which is good and evil. See? Judgment reestablishes the waymarks, the boundaries, the corners. Judgment begins at the house of God. When the people of God wake up and they get right and they start thinking right again, they start hating evil and loving good, that's a revival. And then we'll see children getting saved. Then we'll see people on the outside getting saved. You'll see them interested. The people of God have to be the ones to recognize and to acknowledge and declare what's right and what's wrong in the sight of God. And they must realize and acknowledge that they've been deceived and have embraced things that are evil and displeasing to God. See, try to get some of them to do that. You know, I'd probably have trouble right here tonight with some of you trying to get you to see that you've embraced things that are evil, that God does not approve of. God is not in favor of. That in the sight of God are wrong. But you don't think so. And you won't acknowledge it. See, there's where the problem comes in. Judgment begins at the house of God. And if we won't judge ourselves, then what does the Bible say has to be done? God has to judge us. People of God must understand and face the fact that they're calling good what God calls evil. And they're calling evil what God calls good. So you just keep saying it and keep saying it. Yeah, I'll keep saying it. Because that's the problem. And that's where we hit a stump every time. Yeah, everybody will agree with you when you preach on sin in general and all that. But when it comes right down to it and we start naming things, just dig in. Set your heels. Just like an old stubborn mule. Never give it up. I don't say nothing wrong with it. Forget it. There ain't going to be no revival. We're going to keep going right down the hole to hell where we're headed. I think the world's in bad shape. Look at the people of God. Look at the churches. Look. Look at everybody's lives. Are we progressing? Or are we losing ground? We're losing ground. We like to just put on the outside appearance and dress up a little bit. So like instead of taking a bath, just put on some more deodorant, spray on some more perfume on top of it. That'll take care of it. Just wipe off what everybody can see and keep it going. But it don't cover the stink. It bleeds through. And that's what you can see in everybody's lives. It's supposed to be Christians. They smile when they, at times, and the rest of the time they're hateful, mean, and fighting and fussing. It ain't real. Just ain't real. That's all there is to it. You just won't be a murmurer and a complainer and a hater and a fighter and a hard to get along with if you're right with God. That's all there is to it. And we got to recognize it. We got each one has to recognize. I mean, every man's going to give an account of himself. This is not a corporate thing that we all got to get together and vote on and decide, well, what are we going to do? Nope, everybody's for himself. It happens in a church when it starts happening in individual lives. Anybody that's got any kind of a spark of spiritual life in them responds when somebody sets a good example. When somebody starts out on the way, there'll be others that'll follow. That's right. People of God have to pass judgment upon themselves. Judgment must begin at the house of God. We got to pass judgment upon ourselves. And that judgment has to be what God can agree to. Now, do you really, I mean, you got to be honest with yourself in your heart. Do you really think that God would agree with you on your opinion of yourself, on your opinion of the things you do and the things you love and the things you spend your time with and the things you look at and think about? Do you think God would agree with you that you're okay? You got to pass judgment on yourself. Judgment must begin here with the people of God. Setting things back in order. Putting things right. If there's any hope for our world, for the people of our world, it's with the people of God. It's not the politicians. They ain't going to do nothing, only make things worse. I don't care who we put in there. And it doesn't matter how bad it gets, if the people of God would wake up and they would really experience what I'm talking about here tonight, there's no, we couldn't get too low, but what it would save us. If there really was a real revival among God's people in this country, God's promised that He would heal our land. Yeah, it's the Word of God. It's as true as that it is that Jesus is coming again. It's as true as that is the fact that He died on the cross for our sins. He promised. If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. It's been a promise of God for a long time. We can read in the Bible and it's happened over and over. He did it. He did what He said. I mean, things, we was reading about Manasseh the other morning, how that he, you know, Manasseh was Hezekiah's son and how he did everything, it named everything there was to do. He had his son pass through the fire, burn him on an altar. He worshipped all the host of heaven and he went to soothsayers and witches and everything else, wizards. And then he was afflicted and he prayed to the God of his fathers. God had mercy on him. He sure did. And showed him mercy. What a mess the land was in. But God sent healing because he turned around. That's just the way God is. And if you'll read in Isaiah, he talks about being that way. And then he says, "For My ways are not your ways. We won't do that." Boy, somebody's so low down dirty, we want them dead, dead, dead. We're just like Jonah. Kill them! But God will show mercy. If you'll just turn to Him, He'll forgive. It don't matter what you've done. Don't matter how bad you've been. Don't matter. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look all through the ages. Just look at him. I was reading about Charles Waggle the other day. You know, the one that wrote, "Nobody Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." And what a low-down scoundrel he was. Mean fighter. Always a punching people. Stabbed a boy with a knife. Just mean. Something happened to him, didn't it? That's the way God does. That's the way God did. And it's just unbelievable. It is a wonder of wonders that God's so-called people won't turn to Him in times like this. When things are so dark and it's getting dangerous. And I mean, it's a coming at us. It looks like we'd go to crying out to God. Looks like we'd go be searching ourselves and wanting to be right with God. That's the answer. That's what would fix it. That's what would change things in our world. But, no, I know what I believe, and I don't see nothing wrong with it, and I ain't got no intention of changing anything about the way I live or the way I think. I've just got my mind made up, and it's like an adamant stone. So, nothing will change as long as it's like that until God Himself has to judge. We got to pass judgment on ourselves. We got to deal with our confusion about good and evil, whether it's caused by ignorance, our own ignorance, whether it's caused by false teaching, somebody's lied to us, we've listened to some low-down lying preacher or some friend or some goofball that's got their head full of junk and told us stuff and planted stuff in our mind. No matter what, where it come from, if we're thinking wrong, if we're confused about good and evil, or if it's just our own deceitful lust, we got to deal with our confusion. Are you confused tonight about what's right and wrong? Really? Do you cling to things and approve of things in your mind and heart that the Bible clearly says is wrong? That's always been wrong. That everybody's always seen that it was wrong, immoral. Might surprise you what you really have in you if you'd really let God shine His light in there and look. I know that when I got right with God, that's the way it was with me. And it has been ever since. I don't want that in me. I don't look for things that I can keep. I'm not thinking like that. God changed the way I think when that happened. I'm not on the defense of myself. I'm not trying to justify myself. No. If everybody, you know, if better Christians than me have a problem with something, I back up and say, well, you know, man, maybe I don't understand something. I've learned that through all the years. That's usually the way it is. If better Christians than me and those who've lived in the past have always had an opinion about a certain thing, activity, way of doing things, way of thinking, and I don't have a problem with it, then red flag. Something wrong with me. Am I smarter than all of them? Am I closer to God? Got more light? Has God showed me things that they never could find out? In a lifetime of living for God and sacrificing and some of them being martyrs for God. But I know better. I have better understanding. Not when it lowers my living. I don't have better understanding. I'm deceived by my own lust, by a false teacher, or just by my ignorance. So we got to deal with that. Judgment has to begin with us. And we got to make the decision to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. That's what the Bible says we're to do. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Darkness and light. We got to hate evil and love good. Listen to this. Psalm 119. I'm going to read you three verses out of Psalm 119. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake the law, thy law. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Do you feel that way? The psalmist did. His soul felt horror at people who ignored God's law and did as they pleased. Does it bother you that way, or you laugh at them? Do you take pleasure in watching them? Do you take pleasure in listening to them talk about it, sing about it? Do you? You like listening to people sing about adultery? What are they going to be singing about now? These country music stars, it's queers. What are they going to be singing about? Huh? Yeah. You going to listen to it then if it's a catchy tune? And you going to download it and listen to it? Sing it while you work? Hmm? You will eventually. You won't cast off the works of darkness. And you'll let them sing to it. And you take pleasure in it. Yeah. You're going to be judged as one of them. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Psalm 119:136. Bothered him. He didn't take pleasure in watching them. He didn't take pleasure in listening to them or anything like that. Then in Psalm 119:158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Sounded to me like he had a lot of problem with that. Do you ever wonder what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You understand what he's talking about? He's not talking about your mourning for a lost loved one or mourning because you're so sick or blah, blah, the problems of life. You mourn because of the wickedness done in the land around you, the ungodly people, and they keep you mourn because of that, you're going to be comforted. Judgment is when God delivers his people. And passes judgment, punishes the wicked. He delivers his people and punishes the wicked. That's how God judges. That's what the judgment of God is. That's the definition of it. That's the whole essence of it. If God judges tonight, are you going to be delivered? Or are you going to be are you going to be on the receiving end of the punishment? Well, only you know that, you and God. When God has to intervene in judgment, He has to begin at the house of God. I'm not going to read all this because I quote it pretty often, but in Ezekiel chapter 9, you know, the Lord said to him, go to the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And he did all that, you know, and then he sent the angel out and told him to kill everybody. Start where? Where did he tell him to start? Let me read it to you. All right. He said, slay utterly, old and young, both maids, that's young women, and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. First they came to the sanctuary of God. That's where judgment began. He delivered the righteous. Set a mark on them. And then he punished the wicked. And everybody died. Maids like Anna, you know, like Esther. Elizabeth, little children like Wyatt, Maddie, kill them all. Kill all the men except the ones who have the mark on their head that says they sigh and grieve, that they mourn because of the wickedness that's done in the land. They have a heart that grieves for it. That's judgment. So, judgment begins at the house of God. Still does. This is New Testament where we're at. And when God's going to judge, it's going to begin at the house of God. That's where the cancer starts, and that's where the cure begins. Before God judges the world, He will separate His people. He's always done it. He has never failed to do it. He will do it this time when He judges this world. He will separate His people first. And it's going on right now. First, He'll separate His people from those who are identified as His people but really aren't. You hear me? I'm about done. You better listen. I mean, that's the judgment of God. I see it happening. I see it in various aspects. I see the judgment of God in progress. It's happening right now. Has been for a while. Now it's picking up steam. Remember we talked about last week about Egypt, how that all that was drug out for so long, but I mean when the judgment starts, it picks up speed. That's what we're doing right now. We're picking up speed. God is going to separate His people from those who are identified as His, who everybody calls His people, but they really aren't. There's a big separation going on in the churches. Now, oh yeah. Just like our country has been polarized, the churches are that way also. Nobody hates Bible-believing, holy-living people more than those who go to church who aren't holy and don't believe the Bible. And so they're being separated. I think we can see it happening right now in our society and in our world. All the people who are in the churches who are siding with the evil that's going on in our world are being set apart. You can take that to the bank. I guarantee you God's putting a mark on the people who are siding with evil. But yet set in a church somewhere. Or stand behind a pulpit somewhere. And yet they're every evil thing, they're for it. Or they're sympathetic with it. They're being set apart and distinguished from those who stand for what is right. All those who sigh and cry for the abomination done in the land are also being marked by God. And it's been obvious for a few years now that those who love righteousness are finding themselves ostracized from the church. From the churches. Believe you me. You're not welcome. If you believe anything anymore. That's right. If you've got any opinions about right and wrong, you are not welcome. I mean, that's not loving. And that's judgmental. You're not supposed to judge. That means you ain't supposed to have any opinions about what's right and wrong. That's what they mean when they say that. Yeah. It's exactly what they mean. You ain't got no right to judge. Bible says you ain't supposed to judge. That means they think that you shouldn't have an opinion about what's wrong. The people of God are being cut from the herd and set apart for God. Although they're scattered from one end of the earth to another, they're being united by a kindred spirit that's not found in the apostate churches where the truth's evil is spoken of. God, I've been noticing this for a few years now. I know lots of people I used to go to church with and go to services with. Can't do it no more. And not because I feel so bad toward them. It's because they feel bad toward me. I'm not welcome. They don't want me there. They're uncomfortable around me. Not because I'm anything, but just because of what I believe. Because I do believe. Same as I've always believed of what's right and what's wrong. I believe a Christian ought to be separate from this world. I believe you ought to dress right. I believe you women ought to dress modestly. And I don't believe you ought to wear breeches because that's an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says so very plainly. And you can just squirm and wiggle and you can argue and you can reason and rationalize and you can do all kinds of that stupid stuff. But you're still going to answer to God. The Word of God is plain. You don't agree with God. That's just all there is to it. I hear such nonsense. I hear about one that thinks that for a woman to wear jeans is abomination to God, but any other kind of pants is okay. Because jeans pertain to a man, but other pants don't. That's the kind of wacko reasoning that people use. You ain't going to tell me no argument that I ain't heard 100 times before. I've been at this for a long time. I've been believing this for a long time. I've been around all kinds of people for a long, long time who argue over issues like this. But that issue, they never become more holy when they throw that to the wind and go on. They don't. They become less holy. They may become more religious, but they're going to become less holy. They'll accept a lot of other things also, right along with it, because it breaks something in you. You stepped over a line. You don't care what God thinks. You make up your own mind about what's right and wrong. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And when you're adamant and you won't yield to God and His Word and believe it and obey it and live it before this wicked world, God will judge you. Now, are you part of the herd of the wicked? Or has God set you apart? Can you just go to the world's places and fit right in? I mean, you're just comfortable everywhere. Or do you feel like an outsider? I mean, that is so simple to me, you know. I know where I don't fit in. You know, what if you went to a family reunion and it wasn't your family? What would you feel like? Well, that's just what I feel like in this world. That's just what I feel like in this world. They're not my people. I don't have anything in common with them. They hate the things I love. And they love the things I hate. So, this world's not my home. I don't belong in the herd. You know, if you put one goat in with a bunch of sheep, you know, you ever watch animals? That don't work too good. Take one ant out of this hill and put him in this hill over here. Watch what they do to him. He won't last no time. Boy, they'll take her little scissors and chop, 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 chop. He won't be nothing left but little pieces of him in about 30 seconds, if it takes that long. As soon as they find him, he's done for. He don't belong there. If the world don't hate you, that's a pretty bad sign for you right there. If you were of the world would love his own, Jesus said. But because you're not of the world hateth you. Because you're identified with me. That's what Jesus is saying. Because you're identified with me, they hated me. And they're going to hate you if you're identified with me. But if you go to the world and they love you and they accept you and you're this good old boy and you just fit right in and you can talk their talk and they can tell you anything, and you ain't out of the herd. And I'm telling you, God is doing that right now. He's separating out His people. All around the world, He's separating His people out. He's calling them out. Judgment's already begun at the house of God. What will be your judgment? I mean, where would you stand tonight if God called you up and declared what you really are and passed judgment on you? Think about it. You'll think about that sometime. Every man's going to give account of himself to God. What if God called you right now and you, in the next 5 seconds, you found yourself standing before God? Is what He says about you going to be the same thing that you say about you? Judgment begins at the house of God in the beginning of a cleansing of the human race. And the start of a new beginning, both begin at the house of God. That's where it begins. That's why it's just so important that there be an awakening of God's people. I pray for that all the time. You've heard me pray for it. People need to wake up. The people of God need to wake up. Don't you think that you're okay with God or everything's going to be all right with you just because you come to church? This because somebody preaches to you. What have you done with it? What do you say about yourself? And I mean your soul counts on it. Don't you understand? We're talking about eternity forever. You miss it, you're going to burn in hell forever. I don't care if it's the oldest to the youngest one here. Do you realize what is at stake? Everybody ain't going to heaven. Few there be that find it. Probably few right here in this number. Probably few. And judgment has to begin here. I mean, it has to begin with us, with you, with me, myself. Everybody, you know, we're living in a time when everybody is looking at everybody else. You know, everybody's got opinions and strong ideas about what everybody else is doing wrong and what they need to do and what about us? I mean, everybody needs to just think about themselves and quit measuring yourselves among yourselves and with each other, comparing yourselves among yourselves. And measuring yourself by yourself. You can't do that. What's it going to be like? Boy, God's judgment is at hand.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. What do you think? We're almost at the end of the Bible. Look at that. That's what's left in the Bible here from 1 Peter where we're at. Just a little bit. What all is that about? Judgment of God. When it's all over, what is it that's going to be done? Everything's going to be set back in order. Evil is going to be put in its place. Good is going to be exalted. Righteousness is going to reign. Don't you see in history, you can look at the history of the human race, wickedness is like a cancer. And it just grows and grows and grows until it just takes over. And then it just there's a great destruction and purging of the human race. And then we start over. And then it begins again. And wickedness rises. And the light grows dim. God judges. Very plain how it works, ain't it? But judgment has to begin at the house of God. And that's you. And that's me. That's in the churches. And that is the only hope. Ain't nobody else got any answers. All they got is a bunch of confusion and they just keep making things worse, trying to fix it themselves. They're a generation of humanists and unbelievers and ungodly who don't have any use or time for the things of God, the ways of God, the law of God, the Word of God. They think we're all a bunch of kooks. And look at what they're doing. Look at this insane world. Who's the kooks? No. Christians shouldn't be kooks either. Shouldn't act kooky. It's a bad testimony when you're kooky. When you have wild, maniac ideas and believe all kinds of nonsense. That ain't the light shining. Righteousness. What's right? According to God. Live to please God. Do what's pleasing in His sight. All right, let's bow. Father, we thank You for the time together and thank You, Lord, for the message here tonight. I pray You'd bless it and do some good in our own hearts here and whoever else might hear it. Pray to help them. Wake them up. Cause us all to look into our own hearts and minds and purge out, cast off these works of darkness. Throw out these ideas and opinions that we've been influenced to embrace by this wicked, sorry world. Help us, Lord, working ever hard. Pray Your people would wake up. I pray there'd be an awakening among Your people and among the men who preach the Word of God, if it really be a stirring and an awakening in these days when things are so unstable and violence is filling our land. Help us, Lord. Bless it now into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.